MoneyWeb now on The Money.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. I'm chatting with Derek Mcebe. He is the Stanlib CEO. Derek, appreciate the time again. I want to start off looking back at 2024 and ask a wide question, but I'm keen to get your take on it. What surprised you about markets last year?
One, I was surprised by the exceptionalism of the American market.
Mm-hmm.
I was surprised by the hype around AI and just technology in general. Thirdly, I was surprised by the climb back from issues relating to sustainability and climate change in the developed world. And then fourthly, I think the geopolitics and the changes in various governments and the impact of that, that's going to have on markets in 2025. With half of the world population going to elections last year,
mm-hmm.
we should be expecting that in 2025, we'll expect a play out of the choices that the politics have made in terms of the world economy.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to touch on some of those points. Technology, I mean, Stanlib is an investment house, but I imagine at the heart of it, there must be a lot of tech. What sort of innovations are you seeing most useful for yourself and your team at Stanlib?
Our focus is actually one, making sure that from a customer experience point of view, we are able to get our customers to transact with us digitally
mm-hmm.
and in a frictionless way. The second one is, how do we become more efficient? The industry is under pressure mm-hmm. from a fee point of view. That means that the cost to serve our customers has to be reducing, and therefore completely replatforming our operations environment and implementing the best and affordable technology that's available to us is absolutely critical to us, because we want to allow our investment people to spend a lot more time doing the human part of investing mm-hmm. rather than the stuff that the machine is going to do. I have no doubt in my view that in areas where the machine is stronger, the machine is going to win. But there are areas where the machine is never going to be able to replicate what the human can do. And we want to amplify the areas where our investment people can spend time on, which have got the human element, because we believe that's where the edge will actually come from.
I take your point on that. You mentioned in the first answer around the exceptionalism of the American market, second year in a row of plus 20% returns. In what ways do you think the current investment landscape is perhaps shaping performance metrics that investors are prioritizing these days?
Look, I think investment clients are always looking for one thing. Whether they ever get it is another story. They're always looking for the best return with the lowest risk.
Yeah.
That's what they want. But often those two don't actually come together. So my view is that I think there's still going to be a lot of demand for clients to get exposure to hard currencies. The offshore trend, as much as it looks like people are at their limit, they're still going to be exploring different markets in the international world. I think the interesting part would be, historically, when we've spoken about offshore, we've always looked at equities. But, you know, there's bonds, there's private credit, et cetera, et cetera. There's international real estate. I'm expecting that clients are going to start experimenting with a number of those other asset classes as well, as opposed to what they've had historically. And the final one would be, I don't know how clients are going to de-risk themselves from the exposure to the U.S. market. The U.S. market is looking incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
And it's actually overweight in terms of the MSCI. And so I think if you are a smart investor, you would be looking at, how do I manage the downside exposure to the U.S. market? How do I get some diversification and take some of the profits that you make from being exposed to the U.S. market? I think that's going to be a very interesting call on how portfolio managers actually execute on that on behalf of their customers.
Absolutely. And I agree 100% with the U.S. market, the expensiveness and the overweight. But as you're mentioning the options there, I'm thinking back sort of 20 years ago. I mean, 20 years ago, my investment was JSE and then maybe a bit of offshore. The range for the investor is just humongous, which is great, but also perhaps challenging because, you know, again, we need the skill sets of advisors and asset managers to help us navigate, truthfully, the complexity and range.
Yeah, look, the bad message for investors is that the complexity will only increase. It's not going to get less. So that's the tough part. At the same time, I think investors need to be humble enough to acknowledge that they need help. And therefore, the value of advice, in my view, could become one of the most important differentiators between investment success and failure. And therefore, if I was starting out today on my investment journey, I wouldn't back myself to be able to do it on my own. I would be looking for a very good advisor, at least to work out a plan for me on how I should be navigating a very complex investment landscape.
Yeah, 100%. And currently a complex investment world. You mentioned the elections last year. Of course, President Trump has come in the last couple of weeks, very much a focus on American first policies. What sort of influence is that going to have on foreign investment flows into Africa, into emerging markets? I mean, are we going to see almost another rush of money into US markets, or is there still hope for emerging markets?
Well, I think emerging markets have underperformed for a good number of years. I think the last 5 years, emerging markets have underperformed the developed markets, largely because of the US performance. I don't see that changing in the short term. I think the mood in a number of countries is very much about nationalism. The globalization process that we went in for the last 20 years, I think it's been questioned. And that's not great for emerging markets because we need international flows to be coming into our markets. And this lack of globalization, I'm not convinced that it's going to be beneficial to us. We've thrived in a world that is interconnected. Mm-hmm. And when you start erecting trade barriers, et cetera, I think we'll end up being losers as emerging markets. And so I'm not that positive on that. I think the growth in nationalism, each country looking after its own people, particularly whether you're in Europe or in the US, which is really the mandate that the American people have given to Trump, which is America first. That's not great for any of us. And you're starting to see that play out.
Yeah, absolutely, even in the short couple of weeks. A last question, bringing it back to South Africa and what we can manage. Our grey listing has had significant implications for the economy, for the financial sector, such as yourselves. What do you think is the most notable impacts we've seen? And do you think we can get off that grey listing this year? Have we made the progress that is required?
I don't think we're going to get off of grey listing for the next 12 to 18 months. We haven't made enough progress in addressing some of the fundamental issues that were raised. I mean, we're making progress, but we haven't gotten to a point where we can say we've ticked all the boxes, and therefore, if someone comes to mark our homework, they give us an A+. I think we're not there. There's still quite a few things that the task team that's working on that is working frantically to resolve, which is not great for us because we need a lot of money to come into South Africa. You know, the fundamental challenge that we need to solve in South Africa is growth. Where is growth going to come from? And what is the plan? And is that plan executable? And there is no ways that we can have a growth agenda that does not involve a massive inflow of capital to fund the infrastructure that underpins what we need for growth. And so, you know, these things like grey listing, et cetera, et cetera, we've got to solve those things because those are niggles and frictional points which slow down the flow of capital into our economy and make us less attractive for people who want to invest money in it. We need a hell of a lot of investment in the next 5 years in order to break out of the low growth trap that we're in.
Yeah. And from growth, unemployment comes down, rates, everything. It's around that growth at the core. We leave it there. Derek Mcebe, Stanlib CEO, always appreciate the time.
This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management.